guest today is Adam Freimler. Adam, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, David?
I'm doing really well. What do you do, Adam?
I actually graduated from the University of Chicago 2 weeks ago, studied computer science and
math. Congratulations.
And later this summer, late July, I'll actually be joining Morningstar for their technology development program.
Congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
That's great. How did you find that job at Morningstar?
So I actually, I found them through an on-campus recruiting fair, but I also used a lot of other tools like Handshake, a lot of friend referrals, a lot of other things. Like as I look for jobs last year.
We were talking off camera about that whole recruiting process. It's imperfect, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You've got some strong opinions about this.
Yeah, I think there's been, I've seen a lot of articles on Medium, LinkedIn, other places pretty recently saying certain things like, oh, the whiteboard interview either needs to die or needs to be really revamped.
Let's also define that whiteboard interview that.
The whiteboard interview?
Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially in a lot of the whiteboard interviews I've been exposed to, you have two or three software engineers circled around a table like this room we're in right now. They present you with some pretty large abstract programming problem, and then they essentially give you a marker and then define a few functions to essentially implement the problem that they're trying to get you to solve.
Okay. I have actually been in those interviews.
Yeah. As the interviewee or interviewer?
Both.
Okay.
it's a little bit stressful as the interviewee.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds fine. Is that wrong?
Well, I think that it would be best if these companies that are interviewing, they provide these problems, the task for the interviewees to do in situations that replicate and ways that make the interviewee as comfortable as possible without giving them too lax,
okay.
And also in ways that are comparable to how the company itself actually conducts those things. So if that's how they do all their coding, like on a whiteboard, for example, like that's fine. Like by all means, that gives them the best exposure. But I think that there are a lot of ways that we can reinvent these types of tech interviews to make everyone better off and provide more meaningful feedback to all parties.
Such as what?
Well, there's one company that I found out pretty recently. It's called, I'm pretty excited about this one. I'm not affiliated with them. It's called interviewing.io. And essentially it provides a lot of pretty cool tools. One of them is that there's a decent amount of concern about whether the interviewing process is biased, and that whether certain, a lot of talented developers and engineers from certain groups aren't being allowed to progress on to the next step of the process because of bias. So one thing that interviewing.io does is that they essentially like allow you to obfuscate the voice of the person who's being interviewed. So you have no idea, am I talking to a woman? I'm talking to someone who's male. Like all those things are not biased.
With an accent, for example.
And then another really cool thing that they do is that as soon as the interview is done, they provide, the interviewer provides feedback for the interviewer on things like communication, would I be interested in working for someone for this company? And then the interviewer provides feedback on the interviewee on criteria of problem-solving ability, overall technical ability, as well as communication. So I think having that kind of metric is a way of introducing empirical evidence to like refer back to throughout the process. I know some companies are already doing this, and I say bravo to you, but I'd like to see this be more widespread and a lot of other people doing this as well. It just gives a nice frame of reference for people to begin making more informed decisions as opposed to, I just remember this person, he seemed like he did a good job, or like, there's more ways that we can refine the process to make sure that the most qualified candidates get recognized for their efforts.
Yeah, so I've been in a number of interviews over the years, both on both sides of it, and my experience is that people that are doing these interviews, by the time it gets to the process where they're meeting somebody in person, it tends to be the employer, the potential employer is taking it seriously enough that they're going to take notes and keep track of, what the person's strengths and weaknesses are. But that feedback that you talked about almost never happens. So if I go to an interview and I am weak in a certain area that they just don't like, say, my presentation skills, or they don't like a technical area, again, I almost never get that feedback.
Yeah.
If they say no, then they just politely decline.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, to be fair, like, in my last batch of, in the fall of 2016, when I was approaching companies for full-time positions, there were certain startups and smaller companies especially, like, they did a little bit better job of providing, like, oh, the engineers looked at your code and, like, you should have done this, like, and for the, or, like, you didn't, like, solve this particular problem of a paired programming interview fast enough, so we decided to, like, for that reason, like, that's a little bit better in the right direction, but I think that there are so many things that we can do in addition to that to make the process better for all parties involved.
Did you use this tool while you were interviewing?
I have not actually used interviewing.io before. I've seen a few demos before, but in those proofs of concepts look pretty conclusive to pretty insightful to me. And I also saw an article yesterday about some of the studies that I think it was the CEO of interviewing.io mentioned that some of the studies that they were doing with the data that they provide, they had some pretty neat visualizations going on. They compared different languages and said, like, oh, like a certain language, there's not a statistically significant difference in across like C, Java, C++, that where the interviewer is allowed to choose that. And it's not like it actually makes a statistically significant difference, but we're beginning to have these conversations where we can say, oh, like, we noticed that interview candidates who took a little bit more time before actually writing some code, but just to jot their thoughts down, they did a little bit more successfully than candidates who just went right into that. So I just think that's a promising turn of events, and I look forward to seeing more of that stuff.
One of the advantages of in-person, non-anonymized interviews is, or I should say one of the side effects, is that you actually get to relate personally mm-hmm. with the potential employer, potential employee, and you kind of lose that when you do something like this anonymized tool. Is that important to you, in your opinion? I mean, there's people cite this, we want somebody that's a good fit culturally, we want somebody that we can get along with, and that's as a factor in bringing them into an organization. First of all, do you agree with that you'd lose that with anonymized interviews, and is that important?
I absolutely think that the way you interact with people on a one-to-one basis when you're actually in the same room, getting a feel for people in different environments, that's absolutely important, and I don't think that interviewing.io should supplant that process. I think that interviewing.io should possibly augment some of the existing.
Have a one more tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and I throw this out because I said advantage originally, I changed it to issues because sometimes that's code for we want people to look and act like us. I guess, for example, a company of all white males may only hire other white males just because they're comfortable with that, and that can be a problem as well. Mm-hmm. You've basically gotten rid of all, there's a lot of advantage to diversity, and you've removed that by essentially just hiring people that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I think that there's a lot more that we can do to help people get along the pipeline. Interviewing.io is one such thing that through the anonymization of the process, we can allow the talent to stand up above everything else. And then there's, of course, at the final, most of the interview processes always end up in the final. The final interview is usually an on-site one. That's another, if there are certain biases being introduced at that stage, that's another cultural problem that needs to be considered and figured out if we can improve certain problems there. But just allowing certain underrepresented people to help get further along in the process through interviewing.io, HackerRank, other processes, that's a step in the right direction.
In your interviewing and your job seeking process, did you encounter any of these barriers? Was there any bias against you personally?
I don't actually think so. One thing actually, I'm a pretty bad tech interviewer. Yeah. So like I there's been so many times where I was like, oh, 5 minutes after the conversation ended, I was like, wow, I screwed that up. Like, I could have done better than that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say
that continues your entire life, by the way. Yeah. It's better, but there's always moments when you walk out of a meeting.
I'd say that there's been very, very few there's been very few interviews where I was like, oh, I totally aced that. And I thought to myself, it would be an injustice if I didn't get through the next round. So like, I don't think I've never perceived any bias whatsoever.
Okay.
But like, we don't.
What about among your classmates?
I haven't. So among my classmates, I haven't actually spoken with them that much about this topic in particular. Like, oh, do you think you're biased about this reason? But one thing that I think a lot of my UChicago classmates have. One thing that's a problem with them, and I'm thinking of one good friend in particular, is that they're not exactly sure how to promote themselves in a certain way. Like, for example, at the very beginning of an interview, if they're like, oh, give me 60 seconds to talk about yourself, I think they could use a little bit of guidance in terms of how they market themselves and how they say, oh, I've done this, I've done this, like, this wouldn't, XYZ wouldn't have happened without me. Like, I think they could use a little bit of a self-esteem boost in that regard, but I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure about instances of bias that they might have perceived.
That's totally a separate issue.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that a little bit, though. I think people coming out of school don't recognize how important it is to tell a story about your accomplishments in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Did you figure that out?
Yes.
You got the Morningstar job?
I don't know why, how they decided, but who knows. Essentially, it's really interesting that you bring this up. I was talking with a friend last October sometime, and I was mentioning, like, I think I'm struggling with, like, the initial 15-minute phone conversations where they're asking me, tell me a little bit about yourself, talk about frame your accomplishments. And the advice he provided me was that, he said, Adam, I want you to think of it this way. Like, have everything that you're doing provide a story that's a part of an overall narrative that you're doing. So like right now, the overall narrative of my life is how to make technical education better for everyone. And have every single job, every single project that you've been involved with, starting from the beginning of your undergraduate career, have all of that like circle back to what you know now. Like say, oh, like the very first, for example, what I would say is my very first technical job was at the beginning of my sophomore year of college, where I joined a tech startup founded by a few classmates. I knew absolutely nothing at the very beginning of this, but what I left with was a fundamental understanding of how full stack web applications are made, and I actually did a significant amount of the development on that. I started from just basic SQL analysis of their database and began to fully appreciate more elements of developing technology to a company of a smaller scale. So like providing, instead of saying like quick bullet points, having more of a story behind it and having everything circle back to that.
I think you did a really good job of that. This is a weakness I've seen among people coming out of school, or even people mid-career, is they have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. They've had great accomplishments, but with that story you just told, you said, this is what I did, this is what I accomplished there, this is what I learned there. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that story that we call it the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
You can tell that story when you get on the elevator on the first floor and press the 12th floor that entire story is done. You've communicated exactly why that was a valuable experience.
Yeah.
And that people have valuable experiences, and getting that out in an articulate and a concise way is a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like, I really enjoy having conversations like this and like meeting a lot of different people who do interesting things in technology. Like you said, like everyone has a story to tell. Like there's interesting things about them that make them tick, and it's just about delving within yourself and doing a little bit of introspection to find out how you can package the story in a way that people are most interested in hearing.
Interesting. You should write about this.
Well,
you should start a blog.
Yeah, I'm actually on Medium. I think it's either Adam Freimel or A. Freimel, or I forget what
it's called. We'll put it
on. Oh, yeah, I'll include it. So, yeah.
All right. Any other lessons you've learned in the last few months during this process?
I mean, just it's a very. I went through a lot of trials and tribulations throughout the time. Like I went through an embarrassingly high volume of interviews before we found the right fit. So like just hang in there, like keep your head up, always have a strong belief in yourself and what you can do, and just like I said, just believe in yourself. That's the most important thing, and you'll get there eventually.
Good advice. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much, David. All right. thank you to all my fans, friends, and family watching this back home. Hope you learned a little bit about technology today, and we'll see you next time.